Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Grant Wall. Welcome to the Planet Football Podcast. This week we have two guests, U.S. Under 20 men's national team coach Tab Ramos, and then Monterey's Jonathan Gonzalez. While I have you, make sure to check out my new podcast series. It's called Throwback on the Origins of the U.S. Women's National Team and the Women's World Cup itself. That's Throwback, with new episodes dropping every Thursday. Onward! As promised, Tab Ramos is with me, the under 20 national team coach for the U.S. men. Tab, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me on, Grant.
You've been on the show before. Thanks for coming back. The under 20 World Cup is coming here. You just announced your roster for that. This is your fourth under 20 World Cup as the coach. You've been to the quarterfinals the last two times. How do you view this upcoming World Cup, maybe even in relation to the ones you've been part of before in this team?
Yeah, so, I think the one thing I can say over the last four cycles is that I feel like from cycle to cycle, the quality of players is getting better. Like, I think we have more and more players to choose from to select a roster. So I'm very excited about this particular group because I think it has a ton of potential.
Do you look at it, I mean, having gone pretty deep in this tournament the last couple of times, is it a possibility to win the World Cup?
I mean, is it a possibility to win the World Cup? I think yes, but that's what I thought all the other times that I went too. I mean, I always think that all you need to do is win this one game that you're going to play next. And so you prepare for that one game, and then you get through that one, and then you just have to focus on the next one. So I certainly go to every World Cup with the plan of coming back with the trophy. Unfortunately, you always end up coming back disappointed, but so does just about every country in the world except for one.
Yeah. Tim Weah is on this team, a player who's had senior national team experience. The process of getting to the point where he was going to be on this under 20 World Cup team, how did that go?
Well, it's been a difficult scenario. There's been a lot of conversations with both the club, Celtic, Tim's agent, with Tim. Tim has been consulting his family. I mean, there's been a lot going on. Greg Berhalter also. So there's been a lot going on, and obviously a lot of private conversations that we've had with all the parties. But I think the bottom line is that Tim really wants to participate in the U-20 World Cup, and I think that's in the end what trumps everything.
You ever deal with Tim's dad, George?
No, I mean, I obviously George was the world player of the year at one point. You know, used to watch him when he played at Milan all the time. He also came and practiced with the Metro Stars a couple times when we were there. So he was a local. We always hope that, he would end playing a few games with the Metro Stars, which never ended up happening. But no, I haven't had to, if you call it deal with him, I haven't had to have a serious conversation about anything with him.
Yeah. He's also pretty busy as the president of Liberia these days.
He has a few more things going on than I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Let's talk about Paxton Pomykal, who's on this team. He really does seem, we've known about him for a while, but he really does seem to be making a move at the professional club level this season with Dallas, where it's impressive. You know, what do you like about what you're seeing with his game right now? What do you think he can bring to your team?
Well, you know, I've always liked Paxton and been familiar with him for quite a few years now with our youth national teams. So, you know, from our end, we always knew that he had that potential. I think it was just a matter of whether he could play for a coach who would provide that opportunity for him. And I think Lucci has been that coach, and he gave him that confidence to go on the field and be himself. And I think he's proven that he's a tremendous player. I think, you know, and I said this after qualifying this year, that I believe we have quite a few American players who, if, you know, if you didn't know they were American players and you thought you were bringing them in from Argentina or somewhere else, they'd have a much higher value. And I think Paxton is certainly one of those.
There have been times when, even with MLS teams, there's been some frustration over, you know, they're not playing their kids. How do you feel right now about MLS in general in terms of the opportunities that you're seeing promising young talents get?
I'm personally very excited about the fact that MLS has opened the door. And I don't want to say MLS because that's more individual. It's club individual, I think. Right. But it's been great this year that the door has finally been opened to all the talent that we have. Mm-hmm. And I think it will only get better.
Tell me about some other players on this roster that you're excited about, what they might be able to bring to your team at the World Cup.
I like them all. You know, it's hard to pick a few, but I'm very excited about the fact that Sebastian Soto has now broken into the Bundesliga.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because a lot of the time we've been talking about Josh Sargent and how Josh Sargent is going to break in, and how, you know, and here comes, you know, Sebastian Soto quietly going from RSL to Hanover U19s, and then all of a sudden quietly goes into the Bundesliga, and now he's played a couple games. So I mean, it's been really tremendous from his end. Very excited about the fact that Ayo Okinola is getting minutes for Toronto, because I think he's a great player. You know, one of the things about this team that I think it's important to recognize is that we're selecting the best players, and we're trying to not even look at their birth years. I think we will easily be the youngest team at the World Cup this year. I think we only have, I believe, 6 or 7 players born of the age group. Everyone else is younger this year.
Okay.
So I think it's by far the youngest team we've had at the World Cup, and I think we've been the youngest in previous World Cups. So we have a lot of good players, and it's great to be able to pick them without looking at their age.
Having been through the Under-20 World Cup several times now, what are some good things that you've learned that maybe you didn't know before about how to approach this tournament?
Well, one of the things about the World Cup, I think that the most important one is that it's really unforgiven. You know, you have to get results. You know, the first game is really important. I'm not saying if you lose the first game that you can't go through, because you obviously can. Mathematically, you can do anything. And depending on who you play first and who you play third, you could potentially say, well, your third game could be easier than your first, so you're going to win that one. I don't think there's an easy win. And I think you have to get off to a good start.
In terms of where you are right now, this is your 4th Under-20 World Cup. I don't know how many coaches in the world can say that. Is this your last one?
I don't know because I always, you know, you never know what's going to happen next. At the moment, I have a contract with U.S. Soccer through the next U20 World Cup.
Okay.
But you never know. You know, this is how this business works. Is you don't know how long you're going to be in one place. I've always sort of been proud of having been loyal to every place I've been. Mm-hmm. So I moved as a player. You know, as a youth player, I only played for one club. And in college, I only stayed in one place. When I went to Figueres to play overseas, obviously I got sold because it's a little club and they could make more money. Mm-hmm. At Betis, I was only changed because they didn't want me at the time and I wasn't going to play, so I sort of had to leave. So there's never been a place where I've actively wanted to leave. You know, I came to MLS, played for the Metro Stars every year. I never wanted to get traded. I always wanted to play for the same team. And now I've been coaching at U.S. Soccer for 8 years. So I kind of, you know, if one thing I can tell you is if I'm going to move from U.S. Soccer, it's going to have to be to a place that believes in a long-term relationship, because I do believe in that loyalty of building something long-term.
Okay. Well, Tab Ramos, thanks so much for joining the podcast. Good luck at the Under-20 World Cup.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
I want to thank Tab Ramos for joining me. Next up is my interview with Jonathan Gonzalez. Our guest today is Jonathan Gonzalez. He was on the field when Monterrey won the CONCACAF Champions League title. They'll be headed to the FIFA Club World Cup. Jonathan, thanks so much for joining me.
No, thank you, Grant, for having me. I'm glad to be on your show.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about here. You're actually connected to the program that gave you your big break, which is Sueño Alianza, connected to Allstate these days. And I want to talk about your story. But give people an idea of, if you can, just of where you're from originally and how you got that break.
Okay. Yeah, I'm originally from Santa Rosa, California, a small town north of San Francisco. And I got the chance to come play over here in Monterrey thanks to Allstate Sueño Alianza. I think it was in 2013 when they saw me. And yeah, I'm pretty much over here because of them.
So how did that come about? Just kind of that first opportunity and sort of how had you developed as a soccer player before that in your local community?
Yeah, I mean, soccer over there in Santa Rosa, I wouldn't say was one of the biggest things. My family has always loved soccer. And, I mean, it's been really different being over here in Monterrey compared to in the States. And, I mean, I felt that being over here in Mexico has really helped me develop as a player, like as a person. And I don't know, I'm just feeling really comfortable over here in Mexico.
Yeah. So how old were you when you joined Monterrey, and what was that experience like when you first went down there?
I think I was 14 when I first got here. And I mean, it was probably one of the toughest decisions I've had to make, being so young and having to come over here to Monterrey, not knowing anybody, not knowing the city, just probably something that was really different at the moment. And I mean, now that I'm here now, I felt like I made the right decision.
Okay. And the transition at Monterrey, you know, you arrive there and you're just starting out, and then you have a breakthrough and get to the first team and play a lot of games, have a lot of success. How did that transition work to get to the point where you were playing for the first team?
Yeah, I mean, that was something that took, I guess you could say, teams. It was something that I dreamt of when I got to Monterrey. It was something I was really hoping for, and now that I'm here, I'm just enjoying it, and I don't know, just want to keep working harder to go to Europe, hopefully in the future.
Yeah, I saw recently your younger brother Adrian had some success at a tournament recently. What's the story there?
Yeah, he did. I mean, he also came out of Allstate Sueño Alianza. I think it was about a year ago, around there. Mm-hmm. He also won that program, and he's right now training over there in Pachuca. And he's been doing really good. I mean, going with the national team down in France, and it's just been something great for both of us.
Nice. Tell me a little bit more about what Sueño Alianza does in the sense of providing opportunities, because, I mean, there's a real feeling in the U.S., United States soccer community that that Latino players are being missed by sort of the more traditional scouting networks. What is Sueño Alianza doing that is allowing them to give opportunities to players who might have been overlooked?
Yeah, I think that Allstate Sueño Alianza has been working very well for many years. I feel like they really dig in the small cities of the big states. I feel like they look really well into the Latino players, the Latino community. And I don't know, I just feel like the way they recruit all these young players is something really unbelievable for me.
Yeah. In terms of sort of your game and the way you play, how do you describe the way you play the game?
I'd say I'm probably like a technical player. I like to have the ball at my feet. Defending wise, I feel like I'm pretty strong defender. But I mean, over here in Monterrey, my role is a little bit more of defensive mid, so I'd say probably just more of distributing the game.
Mm-hmm. In terms of the CONCACAF Champions League, Monterrey has put together a very, very talented team. And just seeing the way that you guys went through the tournament this year was very impressive. And I was struck also just by the semifinal 10-2 against Kansas City. You know, MLS has a long ways to go. MLS has never won CONCACAF Champions League in its current format. What's it like to play on a team that has so much talent and star power?
Yeah, I mean, that's something really new to me. When I made the move up, I just feel like the tempo was much different, and being with all these experienced players from around the world is something incredible. That also, I think, helps me improve on my game, and it helps them too, I think. But I think that's something that's really good to our team.
Now, I know there was a lot of news coverage when you decided you had the choice to play for Mexico or the United States. And chose Mexico. I know that's a really complicated, complex decision. Are you glad that decision process is over now and you don't need to worry about the pressure associated with that?
Yeah, trust me. I couldn't sleep, I think, that whole week. It was a really tough time. I mean, it wasn't easy being in that situation, having to choosing between two countries. So I think that now that I made the decision, I'm much better. I feel like I'm real happy, and I'm just looking forward to the future.
Yeah. I know that the Under-20 World Cup, there has been some discussion about you not being allowed to play. Is that accurate? You will not be at the Under-20 World Cup? And what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they said maybe if we were to lose in quarterfinals or something like that, I could maybe be released. But what I'm pretty sure of is that I don't think I'll be going. But, I mean, that's my club's decision. I mean, mm-hmm. to be honest, I really wanted to go. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, there's not much I can do now.
Yeah, I mean, clubs around the world are not required to release players for the Under-20 World Cup the way they are for the senior national team. What in terms of the senior national team for Mexico, and by the way, you're just 20 years old. Sometimes I think you're older than that. Like it's very impressive what you've done for someone who's just 20. What is your sense of Tata Martino and what he's hoping to do with the Mexican senior national team?
Yeah, I mean, what I've heard from him, because I haven't really spoken with him, but I've heard that he's a really good coach. I feel like his arrival to Mexico is something that's going to help our team, help our country. I'm pretty sure that, he's given the young guys an opportunity, and I feel like he's the one.
Yeah, there's a lot of possibilities at the start of a new 4-year World Cup cycle. What are your goals? What do you hope to achieve with the Mexican national team?
To be honest, I really hope I could go to this Gold Cup coming up, but I see it a little bit tough. Mm-hmm. But I mean, my main goal is to go to the World Cup in 2022, I think it is.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think that's another dream or goal that I'm trying to pursue.
Yeah. How often do you get back home to the California, San Francisco area?
I go back every 6 months around there. They give us vacation when each tournament ends. So, yeah, around every 6 months, I'm back in California.
Okay. Would you have any advice to give to young players who maybe, you know, are in the United States and want to achieve what you have achieved, to become a professional soccer player, to go through the Sueño Alianza program and get these opportunities?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, where I come from, there was little opportunity, but thanks to Allstate Sueño Alianza, I'm here in Monterrey now. Mm-hmm. I think that in the States, there are plenty of teams in the MLS. I think the MLS is really rising now that they've been growing new teams in the MLS. And I feel like the young guys now have much more opportunities than we did before. So I feel like that'll help them in the future.
Well, Jonathan Gonzalez, it's a real pleasure to speak to you. Thanks so much for joining the show.
All right. Thank you, Grant.
Thanks for listening to the Planet Football Podcast. I'd like to thank Tab Ramos and Jonathan Gonzalez, as well as producer Brandon Nix and everyone at Sports Illustrated who supports this podcast. Just a quick reminder, check out my new podcast series, Throwback, on the origins of the U.S. Women's National Team and the Women's World Cup itself. That's Throwback, with new episodes dropping every Thursday. See you next time.